You get a chance to continue my legacy here in Pinstripes, you know, in the, you know, best city in the world, the best baseball city in the front of the best fans. This is an incredible honor.
That one's driven deep to left field. There's a flight. See ya. A long home run for Judge.
Gerrit Cole goes the distance.
Stanton homered again. Trapped him on air.
There it goes. Deep left. It is high. It is far. It is gone. Number 62 to set the new American League record.
This is 161st Street, Yankee Stadium.
All right, all right. Welcome back. Episode number 159, Rob, for Train Savages Podcast. It's a chilly Sunday, week two of NFL football today, Rob. Jet fan here, a little upset. Giant fan over there, I'd say a little upset as well. But yep. Yanks win today, Rob, and they can, what, maybe get five games back of the wild card? We still got six against Toronto. We can play a ton of optimism in this little show if you want to. But we also got some upsetting things to discuss, some interesting things. How we doing, Rob? Happy Sunday. A little crisp outside today.
Yes.
And, yeah.
As you mentioned, it wasn't the best first weekend for New York football altogether, even though the Jets get that win, the disappointing injury with Aaron Rodgers. Even if you want to throw the Bills in there, they lost directly to your New York Jets. And the Giants threw up a zero burger and got 40-pieced by the Dallas Cowboys on opening night. So from that standpoint, pretty annoying. But like you said, there's a little bit of glimmer of hope. I've been seeing it thrown around on Twitter today. And now that the Yankees have taken two against the Pittsburgh Pirates, and then they play this afternoon game. Big start for Carlos Rodon coming up in a few hours. But right now, they're six back from that spot with Toronto. Seattle is then 5.5 up on them. So those are the two teams that the Yankees are chasing. So
and Seattle's got a tough road. Right.
Yeah.
Too. So it is. Yeah. It is kind of. You can talk yourself into a little funny business, I suppose.
Yeah. We won't go too deep into it, but I guess, you know, looking at the Yankee schedule coming up, you have direct games against Toronto this week. Two series coming up in this last stretch of September. So, conceivably, if you hang around there and you have to perform against Toronto. Yes, you could get into it.
All the Twitter.
A lot of stuff has to happen. I've been seeing breakdowns of all the scenarios of what's to happen. You don't want to put yourself in that position, but it's kind of what the Yankees are dealing with and what fans have to clamor to in this last month.
Dude, fandom is quite the drug, isn't it, huh?
It is crazy.
Because like two weeks ago, probably closer to 3 weeks ago, we're going, yeah, I hope the Yankees, you know, 72 win team. I want all heads to roll. And now, you know, we get within six games, we talk ourselves into it a little bit. More importantly for Rodon, he can send me into the fantasy playoffs today as long as I win. But yeah, big start for Rodon. Coming off a decent start, Rob, which I was happy with, but I'd love to see two back-to-backs. And then you kind of see all the Twitter, all the stuff on Twitter. Yanks have been, I think they have the best record in baseball since the 28th of August. Too little, too late, maybe, but encouraging signs, to say the least, I guess.
Yeah, there's some things
depending on how much stock you're putting into it.
Yeah, there's some things that you could pull from that you can say, like we've been talking about, I think, with Michael King now looking pretty good, and he starts like he had a very solid outing against Boston at Fenway. You know, you're still seeing the younger guys play. I mean, Oswaldo's been playing a little better.
Are we kind of penciling in King to start next year?
I think, when you first said it last episode, I was like, but now
it just seems like that's their plan, honestly.
Yeah, knowing the unknown of what the staff could potentially be, and then you don't know how they're going to address it this offseason, but, and you know how invested King is in wanting to be a starter. Yeah, it's something that now I am sort of starting to think about a little bit more, even though I did like him and the ability in the pen, but it seems like he's more along the lines of wanting to be a starter, and he's showing why in these last starts why he wants to be a starter. But yeah, looking ahead directly, I mean, you got three series against, you know, Arizona. I think they're still in the playoff contention. I think they're in that last playoff spot, mm-hmm. or they're around there.
There's like four teams tied for that, like,
yeah,
third spot.
So you're looking at a very competitive road ahead if you're thinking.
And Toronto needs to win,
land
too. Yeah. You know, so we're playing teams that gotta win.
So if you want to go into the fantasy realm of what they're going to do, I mean, you got three games against Toronto, then you got the three games against Arizona, and then three at Toronto, and then you finish the season off against Kansas City. So it's a tough road ahead, but mm-hmm. technically, you know, the Yankees could do some funny business.
Yanks, Kikuchi, Gosman, and Berríos against Toronto, too.
Knowing what we know, at least I don't know if you would agree with this, Tyler, but knowing what I have seen, and when they've gone down the bad stretches and you think that you're in down, completely down in the dumps, it would be so Yankee-like from these past 6 years for them to come out of the woodworks to then say, we are a game out of the playoff spot.
We told you so.
And then they could just, and then they, you know, get bounced in the division series and they go, well, you know, look at how we, that would just be so Yankees.
They'd go, imagine if we had Judge for three more months and we had Rodon at full strength the whole year and X, Y, and Z.
Absolutely, man.
It would be crazy. But I mean, it's a lotto ticket trying to get in. I mean, it's not going to happen. Like, if I had to bet my life on it, obviously. But, I mean, just looking at it, what do we got? 13 games left, it looks like. Mm-hmm. You win 10 of 13. I mean,
it's a tall task.
It's a tall task, but I mean, it's kind of been what they're doing to an extent. And then, yeah, I mean, I don't even know how I'd feel if the Yankees won 10 more games the rest of the year, because then you put a positive spin on such an ugly year. I mean, they end up winning, if they win 10 games, they're at 76 wins. So maybe it doesn't get them in, but, or 86 wins.
I right now, ESPN, I'm just looking at the standings. Their chance of the playoffs right now is 1%.
Yeah.
And then the Red Sox is -1, and then Toronto's at 65. So it would have to be quite the collapse of Toronto. Like, they would have to really suck in these series against. Like, they just have to bury the Yankees. But I mean, it is a glimmer of hope for the Yankees if they do win those series. But
I'm sure the Braves' odds were similar to winning the division in the last 2 weeks of the season last year when they end up beating the Mets out.
Yeah, negative run differential. Ugh, it just makes me want to throw up.
The Yanks, yeah.
Okay, so that's the little glimmer of optimism that we'll have to keep an eye on this last couple weeks of the season.
Mm-hmm.
Disappointing news. So the last time that we recorded, we were talking about the excitement of the kids and watching Jason Dominguez and Austin Wells and Everson Pereira, who also is dealing with an injury right now. I think it was, what did they say Pereira was dealing with?
Peraza was the knee, right? It wasn't Pereira
No, Pereira also was dealing with something I saw.
Yeah, but he wasn't the knee. I think Peraza was the knee.
Yeah.
Because he sat a few games.
So Pereira's dealing with something, but the biggest news is Jason Dominguez will be shut down for the remainder of this season, and we'll be getting Tommy John surgery for a UCL injury, and we'll miss between an expected 9 to 10 months and come back some point later in 2024. And
that's crazy, man.
When that news came down of the Dominguez injury and now him having to have surgery, that was,
it's just why me? Why me?
You think, why me?
And selfishly.
Then you just think of the scope of how this Yankee season has gone and just the ups and downs, and really just looking at the past few years of how the Yankees have gone in 2022, 2021, 2020, and you say, yeah, what else can surprise us
expected?
It sucks, man, and it sucks for Dominguez because he was having a tremendous
four
way
home
to
runs in a week.
Introduce himself to the Yankee fan base. Great start to the year. It really did look like he was replicating what Gary Sanchez had done towards the end of 2016. And you said, okay, this gives us some real optimism heading into 2024. Yeah. That you say, okay, we don't know what was going to happen with other outside moves, but then you look at the internal moves with Dominguez. This guy gives us a lot of hope. And then you say, well, you're not going to see him till maybe August, maybe September next year, or really late, where you wouldn't want to have him. You're not, he's not going to be starting on opening day in 2024. And it was just such a gut punch to get as a Yankee fan. You just said, all right, man, what else is new this year? That's really how I felt. I'm just saying, God damn, like, that sucks.
And then it's really, like, outside of the injury too, like, it's going to be terrible. He's got to rehab and get back XYZ. Like, it's going to be a lot of lonely stuff where he's just rehabbing TJ. First of all, Yanks must lead how many position players get Tommy John. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, Didi had it, right?
Yeah, Didi had it. Hicks had it. Dude, Hicks has had some crazy injuries now that I think about it. But yeah, I know Didi, someone else had it. There's a third I'm thinking of. But whatever. But yeah, the biggest thing for me is, like, dude, you had four more weeks to develop and show everyone that, hey, you're going to fill an outfield spot next year. Big part of last pod, Rob, was me going off and saying, hey, the Yanks don't have to find two outfield positions now. They only have to find one for next year. And that still may be true, but what's your timeline looking like? And what kind of production are you kind of getting out of Dominguez if he comes back? Say he comes back middle of May. Say, you know, you get a decent time frame out of it and he only missed 6 weeks of the season. I mean, you got to give him at least 2 months to get his feet wet again, right? So then you're already talking closer to August, and it's just, it puts a big damper on next season, which I think a lot of Yankees fans were looking towards when he came up and started raking, and now you're like, eh, we're kind of still installing a stalled rebuild type of year next year. So
yeah,
because Bryce came back in 5.5 months, but you're not gonna rush. I don't think you rush him back.
I was gonna make the point, and you look to, it's not. With that injury, it's not a good injury to get, because you're going to miss a significant amount of time no matter what. And Bryce Harper, I want to say, is sort of the exception, because he was wearing that big ass cast, and he the way that he rehabbed, and
if you look at his first half numbers amazing. Too, he didn't have a good first half, and he had 3 home runs. I think he had like 740 OPS. It was completely out of Bryce Harper too. So it took him, I'd say, 3 months to get his feet wet again.
Yeah, and he was playing a lot of time at first base too. So you want to look to that and say, okay, well, you know, that's also a tenured major leaguer who has had a lot of,
like,
experience,
a future Hall of Famer.
A future Hall of Fame guy versus a dude that just came up and that was just getting his feet wet in Major League Baseball and just getting acclimated to the highest level of the sport.
Yeah.
And you're saying, like, it's easy to say, oh, we could do what Harper did, but not everyone's Bryce Harper.
And they shouldn't.
And I will say,
you know,
not everyone's Jason Dominguez either. Jason Dominguez is a really stud prospect.
He's 20 years old, dude.
It's exactly. It's different like that. So
the smartest thing for them to do is probably to take 10 months. He shouldn't step on. He shouldn't put on the stripes again for 10 months probably the smartest thing the Yankees can do.
Yeah, I would agree.
So where does 10 months put us? September, October? That puts us in June, basically.
Yeah.
Oh, that stinks.
So
but does 10 months mean you get to... Does he get rehab games before 10 months? Is that like we're playing sim games at 8 months? And then
I don't know. I would say...
Because that's a big thing. Because then if you can't hit live pitching until 10 months, you got to go through camp for 6 weeks at least, right? You know?
Yeah. That's why I would say maybe late July, August was my guess.
Oh, my God, dude.
Yeah. But I could be wrong. Judge came back pretty soon, but again, that's Aaron Judge, not a 20-year-old prospect or 20-year-old player. But it really sucks for what happened to Dominguez, but we just got to – it's what the Yankees have been dealt, and we'll just have to keep an eye on the rehab for the foreseeable future. Other news, Loaisiga landed back on the IL with right elbow inflammation. So, 15-day IL, I believe. So probably won't see him for the rest
of
the year.
Can he just get TJ, honestly? How many times is he, I'm serious. How many times has he been on the IL for elbow inflammation?
I would rather they address it now and just get it done, because
but that's why he missed like the first 2.5 months of the season.
Yeah.
And I feel like it happened last year, too. Didn't it happen in 2021? I kind of want to look up his injury history, but that's a blow too, Rob, you know? Who knows if it's actually... Do we think that's a real injury, honestly? Because, like, why pitch Loaizaga this year?
Yeah, that's...
Like, is,
cool.
It, is it Phantom yeah. IL?
It could be, because they've just been bringing up a lot of the young... not young. There was a... What was his name? The
dudes that haven't pitched in forever.
Yeah, that just... That have been filling the pen. And mm-hmm. then you got Holmes and just... That's what they've been... Wandy in there still, but... So they've been you could be right on that, honestly. It could just be they.
That's kind of wishful thinking, though. Here's his injury history in his career as a Yankee. So in 2019, he had a shoulder. 2020, undisclosed, whatever that means. 2021, he got COVID. And then 2021, on the IL for shoulder in September. And then back on the IL the following season, 2022, in May. And then this year, he was... back on the IL for an elbow in April, and now he's back on the IL for an elbow in September. So, elbow, shoulder, shoulder, elbow, elbow. Doesn't get much worse than that for a pitcher, so.
No, not at all.
I don't know. I guess, yeah, hopefully avoid it, but I'm not looking, I'm not, you know, putting a lot of stock in next year if that's a real injury, to be honest.
Yeah. Other news, Frankie Montas is about to start making some rehab starts, Tyler. I said to you before we started recording, could it be that we see one start at the end of this year from Frankie Montas as a New York Yankee before he heads to free agency?
Imagine we get a scenario, Rob, where the Yanks are like a game out or half a game out, and all they have to do is win to get in because Seattle already lost or something that day, and the Yanks play the later game. And Montas is on the tip for the last start of the year, and he sends the Yanks to the postseason, and Brian Cashman is just, you know, the trade like works with out, baby, because he
a
made
a devious little yeah. look. Oh, my God. That would be hilarious.
That would be quite the story.
He would love that. Cashman, oh, yeah. That would be perfect for Cashman. He'd say, see, I told you, uh-huh. see?
Over a 162 sample size. No, I don't know. You think he'll start? That would be – I can't see him starting, honestly, but
– I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, so he's doing his debut start today in AAA, so
– oh, they're throwing him right into AAA, I mean.
Yeah, so, I mean, there's – it's kind of close because there's only, like, two and a half weeks left of the season.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I wouldn't be super surprised by it, but mm-hmm. I just, you know, throw it out there, but
– it would be funny. What it would be. It would just be funny to me.
Other news, reported trade. So I wanted a little bit about the Red Sox and Yankees recently played for the last time this season, at Fenway. Yankees
oh, by
won
the,
that series.
By the way, Pereira's injury was falling up the stairs in Boston.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh,
so he's battling a leg thing.
There was a fun reported trade that was potentially going to go down earlier. I think it was either this year and past months between the Yankees and Red Sox, where trades don't typically happen between rivals in this way. But
unless you're Adam Ottavino.
Yeah. Was looking at Clark Schmidt being sent to Boston for Alex Verdugo. And now the way that Clark is pitching, you're saying, well, oh, I don't know. And plus there's a premium on pitching now with the Yankees, being that you don't know what's going on with Nestor and Seve and Montas, and the way Clark's pitches looked really good, but mm-hmm. you know, that would have been quite the shocker, no, Tyler?
It would have been the shocker. It would have been definitely a shocker, and it would have been a really bad trade for the Yankees.
Yeah.
Like really bad, I think. I don't know how you would have felt about it, but I think that's like a reach and a half. And just to put it lightly, I mean, Clark's under team control for 4 more years, and Verdugo's under control for next year, and that's it. It would have been one of the dumbest things the Yanks could have done.
The way that Clark is now pitched, yes, keeping that in context, but in the time that may have happened, like,
but in August, man, we were still like, I think we loved Clark in August. The only month he was bad was April.
Yeah, I mean, looking at Verdugo's year, I mean, he fills the everyday spot in left if you wanted to have him play there.
If you thought you were going to win this year or next year. Sure, maybe.
I guess. But long-term outlook, it just kind of would have been pointless to really do. 13 home runs, 54 RBIs, 269 average, 761 OPS. So he's just he's 328 on base, so he's just,
definitely would have been a better hitter than half our lineup. Like, it's not a secret. I think long term, it's a silly trade to make on, because you're not going to pay him.
I would agree.
I'd almost rather pay Glaber, move him to left field, and like and do that.
Hey,
that's where the Yankees brainwash me, because I always yell at them for playing players out of position, but I'm like, just make Glaber a left fielder.
That one time, wasn't there one time where they in a super shift or something? I remember
they've done it. Yeah, they've done it a few times.
Playing right or left.
They'll send him in the left when they do the five outfielder or the four outfielder thing.
Yeah, give him a little experience out there. So that was funny. But I wanted to talk about this because I thought it was fitting.
Yes.
So Yankees and Red Sox are playing, and I think it was the day of the second doubleheader where they had to get it rescheduled, and the Red Sox announced that they're parting ways with Chaim Bloom, their general manager, head of baseball operations, and for two teams in the Boston Red Sox and the Yankees that are now currently fighting to not be in last place of the American League East. I just thought it was funny how the Red Sox show that willingness to part ways with their head of baseball operations, and then you look over at the New York Yankees, and they still got their guy that's been there for 25 years.
They got the whole damn staff that's been there for 25 years.
And I think Michael Kay said it on the broadcast. He said the average tenure for Red Sox general managers in that position of being head of baseball ops, I think, was around 3.8 or 3.9 years.
They won two World Series in the last however many years with two different general managers.
Yeah,
so the Astros.
Past two decades, they got four World Series and the Yankees won. And I can't help but just chuckle when I hear that. And I say, you know, is the being in that position, is it cruel because you get hired to be fired? Yes. But that, I think you go in knowing that, and you go in signing up for that. And it's just funny that the Yankees look at this year and they go, you know, we had a couple tough breaks and we're going to be right back doing the same thing. And then listen, the Red Sox have had
they fired him, honestly.
Yeah, I think it is too. And that's what it is, because they just finally started getting some guys in the mix. And a lot of their younger players were sort of really making a name for themselves and
like
really looking
really good.
Quality,
uh-huh.
And then they parted ways, and that just shows you, though,
but
they have the balls to do it, and they have an expectation level of you can't not do that, and for even that you can make an argument with Chaim Bloom that maybe he shouldn't have been fired because he was heading him in the right direction, but they said, you know, we're gonna cut bait. But then you look over at the Yankees that just have been going through the same cycle for these past 6 years, and they go, nah, we're okay with it. I just thought it was wild.
No, it definitely was. And I think Chaim is not great, but I think he had a decent offseason, too. I thought letting Xander walk was a decently smart decision, even though he was the face of that franchise. I don't think he was worth what San Diego paid him. Yoshida was a really good signing.
Wish we had him.
Yeah, wish we had him. Tristan Casas looks like the next big lefty in their lineup for the next 5 to 7 years. He's put together quite the season. Duran came up and started raking. Justin Turner was a really good signing out of him. Adam Duvall came in and raked all year. I was kind of – they re-signed Devers, and they're probably going to let Verdugo walk, and they got their young pitcher that's looks like a stud, Bello or Baleo, however you pronounce his name. I was kind of surprised they got rid of him and didn't give him this offseason, especially if, you know, you're going to try and entice Ohtani or whatever it may be. But, Sox got the nuts. It seems like Yanks don't. That simple.
Yeah, and I saw people on Twitter, some bigger accounts too, talking about talking shit to Red Sox fans about, you guys have had these losing seasons and the Yankees have had 20 straight winning or whatever. I think it's since 1992, which, listen, nothing.
I think it's like 30 now, right? Wasn't last year 30? Yeah.
It is an impressive feat But Tyler, I will ask you this.
But that's not what we're like.
If the Yankees had to lose three losing seasons, but you get a fucking World Series in year mm-hmm. four, are you doing that?
Yeah.
Yeah. Every mm-hmm. time. I'm sorry. If you get the big one, you get the light at the end of the tunnel that you want.
You get
want.
Some leeway to be bad after.
You do.
Yeah.
And like, I'm sorry.
Look at the Rams. At other sports too. It happens.
Yeah. And I'm sorry. I'm sorry. That's like great. Mm-hmm. You're going in circles. The Yankees are going in circles. That's what they're doing. And if you want to, like, okay, fine. Like, it's...
Because we're getting to the point where probably... I mean, the two big heads look like, to me, if I had to bet on it again, it looks like to me that Boone and Cash are back next year.
Yeah, I think so, too. Now with this winning that they've been doing, I was saying that maybe Boone gets let go, but I...
That's what it looked like. But then the media started calling it out, like, that's such BS scapegoat, but they're probably going to do it. And I think Hal kind of found some heat. And then the whole analytical comment came out, like, we're going to hire a third party, yada, yada, yada. So, I don't know. We might not even know the names of people that get hired or fired this year, right? Because we don't, you know, we know who the head of our analytical department is, but we don't know. We know nothing. That's what it comes down to. And they're okay with what's
okay
been
with that.
Put out there, and the Red Sox are not. So it's cool to see them make a statement and be like, hey, yeah, you put together a pretty good lineup this year and X, Y, and Z, but not good enough.
Yeah. And they should be, oh my God, they should be looking at that. I'm sorry. And like, don't like all these Yankee fans saying no. That even if Chaim Bloom shouldn't have been fired, that is the level of accountability
hey man, Chaim can like, build a lineup. Come bring him in.
They
Come
are
bring him
a
in, Cash.
A gold standard franchise. They are in sports, and that's what they do. And the Yankees aren't acting like that anymore. Mm-hmm. They aren't. They are okay with being okay, and that's just what it is.
Excuses come before accountability all the time with the Yanks.
All the time. Other stuff talking about potential moves. You saw we were saying this John Heyman, and we got to take it with a grain of salt. But especially too after Ohtani apparently empties out his locker the other day.
That was
which
crazy.
Big
the
big
news
headlines.
Came out at like 1 a.m.
Yeah. Could it be a situation where if the Angels keep heading in the direction that they are and Ohtani potentially leaves, that Mike Trout would want to go? And John Heyman was saying that two targets that could be in the conversation would be the New York Yankees and the Philadelphia Phillies. He's from the Jersey area.
Mm-hmm.
He's a Philadelphia Eagles fan, which is gross. But he... Could it be a situation? I mean, listen, if you're adding, even with the injury history, if you're adding Mike Trout to this Yankees team, sign me the F up. But I don't know how much stock I put in that rumor.
I buy the rumor, honestly. Like, I really do. Because there's zero reason why. Like, the Angels are in a bad spot. Like, they need to, everything needs to be ripped off. Rendon's a terrible contract. You're basically just paying the best player in the league to sell some tickets. I mean, like, you're not competing anytime soon. You tried to go for it this year. You gave up a bunch of prospect capital to go get dudes like Randall Grichuk and X, Y, and Z. So it probably best betters their franchise to get rid of Mike Trout, honestly, because I don't – they need to be bad for 3 to 4 years and get high draft picks like the Orioles. Like, they need to be really bad. Mm-hmm. For which they will be with or without Trout. So I'm gonna be honest. I do kind of buy the rumor. Yes, I would be, of course, ecstatic to have one of the, you know, potentially one of the best players to ever play the game, as a Yankee man. But I don't know if you can do it, man. Like, I'm a huge Trout guy because I think when he's on the field, there's really not anyone better than him. But you're talking 53 games 2020, 36 2021, played 119 last year, and he's not going to play again this year. He's going to play 82. I can't sign up for that. I really can't. You know, it's always – and it sucks because I wanted him to go down as the GOAT, and I don't think he will if he can't stay on – like, if he puts together another year – of 80, 100 games. I mean, You're talking, this is going to be crazy, but you're talking Byron Buxton injury stuff.
Yeah,
I mean, he really hasn't played a complete season since 2019.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the troubling part, too. Like, the talent is absolutely there, and he's going to hit his 32-year-old season, which is, you would think, is not still going to be in a healthy realm for a player, but... it's just, and two, you got to factor in, are the Yankees going to be comfortable with bringing on his deal or bringing on any kind of money, having a deal with Stanton and Judge and Cole over $300 million. But I mean, listen, if they really, like, if they were serious, if Brian Cashman is serious and the Yankees are serious and they, and excluding what the health factor is, they would want to bring that kind of talent in and not give a shit about what what the money is if they really wanted to operate like the Yankees. But yeah, I mean, the injury history, you're right, 82 this year, 119 in 2022, 36 in 2021, and then 2020, which abbreviated season, 53, and then 2019. So yeah,
but if
this is just the this is where his career, if this, you have to think that this could be a lane, that this is the way his career is headed. But I mean, in terms of the talent level, like, it's a no-brainer to add to this lineup and add to this team. And I mean, could you imagine an outfield of
Judge
Jason
and
Dominguez
and
left,
Dominguez, yeah,
and Mike Trout in center, Judge and right? It would be crazy. So,
and listen, Rob, I mean, if they went and got him somehow, and this, you know, there is any stock in this rumor, I'd be ecstatic. Obviously, I mean, I'd be off the walls. But I mean, you're talking about a guy like we just discussed that over the last 4 years, 28 to 31, 32, that's a player's prime, and he's missed a lot of his prime. Mm-hmm. Or I mean, you know, his prime was essentially when he got in the league at 21.
But, or his should be prime.
Yeah, his you know, the what's it? The normal in an MLB player's lifespan, it seems like late 20s, early 30s is like when you're really hitting your stride and you're in your prime. But I mean, yeah, you get him, you sign up for 7 years at $35 million for the next 7 years till he's 39. It could be great, and maybe he does play 140 games elsewhere for six out of the next 7 years on his contract. But, yeah, you kind of can't – when he's on the field, there's not many people better than him. So you bring him in, it's crazy, but –
yeah. It would be wild, so we'll see if John Heyman, Mr. Arson Judge himself, is on point. So Yankees play this afternoon. Like we said, Rodon starts – so we're recording before the end of the series, but we'll see what happens. And then they Toronto comes to Yankee Stadium after this little road trip in the Northeast for the Yankees, and then Arizona comes to the stadium next weekend as well. So we'll be back recording, seeing if we're talking about.
Let's at least play spoiler if we can, you know.
Yeah, that'd be fun. Play a little spoiler. Play help spoiler. Maybe help Seattle get in. I guess we hate Toronto more than Seattle, so it'd be fun. But yeah, that's it for episode number 159 for Train Savages podcast. Really appreciate you guys for listening. As always, be sure to subscribe to us on YouTube and Spotify and Apple Podcasts. Be sure to head over to Instagram and Twitter, or sorry, X now, TikTok as well, @4TrainSavages and @4Savages on X. So really appreciate you guys for listening to this episode. We will catch you next time. Go Giants, go Jets.